and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter. With me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli from the East Coast. Jeff, I got to tell you, man, we were texting today about this game, and I think we both thought the Knicks were not going to pull out this Denver game. I feel like they're just on a path towards something special this year.
Well, exactly. That's what you want to see, like a game like tonight. They didn't have their legs. They were kind of sluggish. And you, like you were saying, Melo's clearly bothered still with the hand thing, and they pulled it out. And, you know, if you go back to Miami, I mean, that was a great win. Everything worked. They passed the ball around beautifully again. Like, they're just, I think they just have Miami's number in the regular season this year. Now, I don't think they'll sweep them, but I think they'll win 3 out of 4 against Miami. You know, I just think they have the number. That Bulls game was a dangerous game. Bulls are a good defensive team. Tom Thibodeau is not going to let the Knicks shoot open 3-pointers, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah, I think I said that this week. You know, I thought they were going to go 2-2. They went 3-1, which is great, you know, because they pulled out the Charlotte game. I mean, we'll go back to that game. I mean,
yeah.
J.R. Smith hitting the first game winner of his entire life, which is kind of surprising.
That is crazy. I heard they said that today. I was surprised at that, not even in high school or anything.
Yeah, but, you know, look, I mean, the Miami game, you know, from the get-go was clear that, you know, the Knicks are trying to make a statement. They're not afraid of Miami.
But and you didn't see that happening without Melo, though. No way.
No, of course not. But, you know, they definitely wanted to show, hey, all the other Knicks wanted to show, hey, like, we're a legit team. We're not like Melo and company, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially Felton.
More like Melo and friends.
Yeah, it's like Melo and friends. Yeah, especially Felton. I mean, Felton's been very aggressive this week.
He's prideful.
Yeah. I mean, he took too many shots in the Chicago game, but we really don't have a lot of other options when Melo's out.
They needed him. That's the thing. Like, it's not his fault they lost. He didn't have a good game. He's still banked up with the hand. I don't know how he shot so well in Miami. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know what? I just chalked it up. Like, they got outplayed. I mean, what are you going to do? Chicago's a good defensive team. But tonight, like, they were a little flat at times, but, like, they came through. They were down 8 with, like, what, like 10 minutes left in the fourth?
I think they were still down 8 with, like, 6 minutes to go even, or 5, 7 minutes maybe.
And they just put on that run. First of all, Melo and Gallo were going at it all night. Like, yeah, obviously that's personal. Anytime those guys are going to face each other, it's going to be personal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look.
Gallo probably had his best game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I like to see, you know, I like to see that from Gallo. He shows a little. Maybe if he played like that against other teams, he wouldn't have gotten traded, you know?
Well, he was just inconsistent. Like, he'd have games like that. Like, when he went against Melo in 2010 when he was here, he played well because, you know, he knew the rumors and stuff. And he had a good game then. And he'd have these, like, good games where he'd get, like, 25, good shooting percentage, and then he'd have, like, a 7-point game.
I mean, I'm so appreciative of Melo just because you realize to win in this league when you don't have a guy that can put up 25 every night. Like, Denver doesn't have that, and they're a 500 team. But, like, Melo will put up 25 on a bad game.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about the Knicks is, we didn't have that, like, superstar. That it's just consistently. Like Walt Frazier always says it. The difference between good players and great players do it every night. Gallo is a good player. Melo is a great player.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there's only 3 guys in the league that put up 25 every night, you know, Kobe, Durant, and Melo. And it's just to have those guys on your team, it's like, okay, well, as long as everybody else chips in, we should win every game.
Yeah. 3 guys you're talking about, Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, T-Mac, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
And Allen Iverson.
Iverson's playing really well.
Oh, by the way, I was tweeting about Iverson because the Miami game brought a stark thing in mind to me. Is I think Dwayne Wade is finished as a star player, even as an elite player. Like, I just think he's Iverson at the end of his career.
End of his career? Wow, because of the injuries?
I just think a 30-something-year-old guard whose whole thing is athleticism. I mean, he's not a good outside shooter.
Not great, no. Melo, I feel like Melo doesn't get enough credit for the 3-pointers that he's hitting this year. I'm reading articles and they're like, yeah, Melo's an okay shooter. And I'm like, Dude, he's shooting the ball really well from 3-point.
Oh, he's a better shooter than LeBron and Dwayne Wade. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, he is.
But, I mean, what do you think? You think Dwayne Wade's still an elite player after watching? I mean, I know he's a little ding, but I think he's done.
That's tough. I think the jury's not out yet. We got to see more. Is he playing an elite level right now? No. But I'm not ready to rule him out that he's, like, he's done. But, yeah, I mean, he hasn't had a great season. He was shitty in the Knick game. He was, like, invisible.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't just that he didn't have a lot of points. You didn't even realize he was on the court.
That's what I'm talking about, that invisibility that, like, once you're not an elite player anymore, you're just a guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a guy out there. He's not Dwayne Wade. He's just a guy.
Yep.
And the other thing is, I mean, the reason I bring it up is I'm talking about, you know, for the big picture, I mean, not only did the Knicks beat the Heat without Melo, like, nobody scares you outside of LeBron on that team.
No, it's kind of a garbage team if you look at it. Like, Bosh, you got to respect what he did last year in the playoffs, but I'm not afraid of Ray Allen. I'm not afraid of Battier.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at the teams around the league, you know, in terms of talent. I rank them a lot lower than I thought I did at the beginning of the year.
The West Coast, man. There's a lot of good teams out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, look. I mean, you look at talent. Like, the Clippers have more talent than the Heat.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the Heat were never based on, like, a deep, talented team. Like, they fixed some holes by getting, like, Ray Allen's an upgrade over Mike Miller and his feathered hair and, you know, some moves like that. Who else did they get?
Ray Allen doesn't have much to offer either. I was watching him. He can't really create anymore.
Nope.
If you can run him off picks, yeah, he'll hit some threes. But he can't create anymore, so he's not really that valuable.
You know what he is at this point.
What is he?
A glorified Steve Novak.
Is he a glorified Steve Novak, or is Steve Novak a glorified Ray Allen?
Steve Novak's a guy we were getting on a little bit, and since, like, our last podcast, he's just come alive. Like, he's doing his job now. He's hitting his shots.
I'm pretty sure Steve Novak is better right now than Ray Allen.
Steve Novak's a valuable cog in the system. Of the guy. Like, look at it tonight when they had the comeback. He had the 6 points.
By the way, you know what my favorite shot in the corner, he set up,
it was a 2 second, boom, released it right away.
Yeah, my favorite from the corner where the guy was right up on him and he just, it was like Larry Bird out there.
Dude, that was great. I mean, that was 6 quick points when the Nuggets stretched the lead up. Did Mozgov play at all tonight? No, right?
I think he might have been hurt, but that other guy, the Mozgov clone, Kostas Kufos, it's amazing that we could have put Melo on him that didn't bother us defensively really at all.
Kostas Kufos.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that there aren't really too many, you know, people are always talking about, well, if we put Melo at the four, we're going to get mismatched. There's really not too many teams that can exploit that.
No, it's really a West Coast. We got the Lakers. You don't want him really guarding Gasol, even though Gasol likes to stretch out.
Yeah, but I mean, this week, he didn't really get exploited for that at all.
Thunder, too, I would say, with Perkins and Ibaka. That's kind of two big guys that, like, I don't think Perkins, obviously, speed-wise, can't keep up with Melo. But you still don't want him, like, posting Melo up and, like, bruising into him, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, we don't want the bruising, but in terms of actual efficiency, like, I don't think Kendrick Perkins against Melo is a good play for Oklahoma.
No, it's terrible, because he's just going to pull him out and shoot jumpers over him
I just mean, like, if Melo's guarding Perkins, what's Perkins going to do, back down Melo? That's not going to be the best strategy for Oklahoma.
You can ask him to stop.
Yeah.
Please stop, Mr. Melo. Here's the thing. I mean, this game tonight is what you want to see. We've been saying it all season. You got to pull these wins out. You know when your team is not that good, they don't win these games. This season you have a confidence like, okay, as long as they're in it, as long as they're, you know, by 8 or 10 with, you know, 8 minutes left, 10 minutes left, they got a shot. Even like the Spurs game, it was like, what, 12 and 8 minutes? Like, this team just, they find a way. And tonight, and you know who's been great too? Chandler's been great.
Chandler, I think, you know, early on we were a little hard on him.
It was the same way. People said the same stuff. He's not playing. He's soft. He's not. And then it didn't matter. No one remembers that.
The tear that he's been on percentage-wise has got to be historic. NBA history, 70% for the month.
Yeah, he's killing it. Also the rebound. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you want to see him put it up straight up. But, I mean, those putbacks are valuable to the system. And he's just playing great.
Yeah, today he had, I mean, not only did he have a few alley-oops, he had that left-handed bat. Like, he batted a ball into the basket. It was like a volleyball move.
Yeah, he had 12 rebounds tonight. I mean, he had a great game. I mean, really got some hard rebounds.
Also kept that guy, the they call him the Manimal, off the board. Great. What a horrible nickname.
You don't like it?
That's a horrible nickname.
Aren't you the Ritter Ball?
Yeah. Melo kept him off the boards, too.
Yeah, Manimal is he's a scrappy player. What about McGee? What a disaster out there tonight.
I don't think that guy has seen his therapist this week. That's probably why he played so poorly.
My God, he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He has no concept or basketball IQ and you saw some glimpses last year when he was pretty a competent professional basketball player. But Jesus Christ, that guy was a total dud tonight. He couldn't do
anything. The only way that guy shapes up is if you put him on the Knicks. What do you think about J.R. Smith this week? He's had an up and down week.
Oh my God. I mean, I texted you because there was one point at the end where he was just a turnover machine. And the Bulls game, he was shitty. He was turnover machine too, bad shots. Today, had that turnover, threw it to Brewer in the corner. Brewer was already leading. And then of course the Bobcats game where he just wouldn't stop shooting three after three missed, and then he hits the game winner. And today he hit a three, an important three at the end. And also, I know he missed the free throws, but that was a good drive where they were just killing clock and he was just dribbling, and then he went to the hole and got the call. And Melo ended up putting it back on the missed free throw. But he does things like that that you're like, yeah, the guy's really valuable. But then at times, obviously, you're like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah, so but you know what? I mean, look, I agree with you, but at the same time, I think we're mostly annoyed because he just wasn't hitting shots.
Well, no, I thought tonight he was a turnover machine. He had three turnovers.
Yeah, but were they all his fault? I don't know that Brewer, I think it was just a miscommunication between him and Brewer. I don't give him total flack for that. I mean.
Okay. I forget the other one, but yeah, he had two or three in a stretch, and you're like, oh, God,
yeah.
Come on.
You know.
Another point was and they went to him, but we went to J.R. Smith four times in a row, and it's like, yeah, we have Carmelo Anthony when we're up four and we're trying to, ice the game. Why don't we give it to him? We have one of the best offensive scorers in the game, and then he had the 4 points on Galloway.
I thought it was a good balance. I mean, look, I agree with you. You should probably always give it to Melo.
Yeah.
But
it was fine.
I was going to say, the one thing that just strikes me about this whole week, too, is I wish I would have watched Kidd more closely in his prime and respected him as a player more, because watching him now as a 39-year-old, it's amazing. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
Oh, he's great. I mean, at 39 doing this, he played almost the whole game, and he just, God, he's just so good. He comes up with some steals, controls the tempo, hitting – well, what is he, 50% on threes this year?
He's very close.
He's so good. He's a wizard with the basketball. He's an offensive genius. And, he's such a good addition. I don't want to say I slept on it, but I was more juiced about the other guys coming here. Like Brewer, I thought was a really smart signing. But Kidd was that times a million.
Yeah, he really lives up to the cliche that you can't really see it on the stat sheet. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. He does things that only Hall of Fame players, point guards, can do. He also has this amazing defensive ability. He got called for a foul today, but he really is the best ball slapper in the league.
Yeah, I didn't like that call. I thought that was a clean call. And teeing up Melo on that play, Melo was kind of just pissed, and he was waving his arms around as he's walking away, and they teeing him up.
Melo's got to be careful, man. Nobody, he's hanging out with Sheed too much.
Nobody comes to the games to see you hand out technicals. It's a little out of control. Melo was walking away, and they teed him up. But
how good of a ball slapper is Kidd? He's the best ball slapper.
Yeah, he's great, man. I didn't think that was a foul. But then you could say Taj Gibson getting kicked out yesterday was kind of absurd, too.
Yeah.
That's
true. But you know what I mean? Look, we really got to start being careful. You get, I think, 14 texts and you start losing games. We're now halfway through with him and Sheed.
Yeah. Sheed, you can afford to lose a game. Yeah, Sheed was out today. And, these guys are – it's going to rotate with missing games with Kidd, Wallace. They're going to miss games, and that's just how it's going to be. They're old, and that's – you got to just live with it.
Yeah.
You know who I like, who I think is actually a decent basketball player? James White.
You know what? He's got a mid-range game. He hit a couple threes. He didn't make any bad decisions. He took nothing off the table, and he brought a lot to it.
I feel like if you put him in for a few minutes each game, like he can hit shots, and like he can like not, yeah, like what you said, not fuck up and keep it moving. I like him more than Copeland.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're gonna go on the scrub factor, I think Copeland is closer to a scrub than James White is.
Yeah, I like James White, man. I gotta be honest.
It's weird, right? Because I think all the Knicks fans in the preseason thought, oh, Copeland, you know, he might be a player, and James White, who is this scrub? I think it's a little bit reversed.
I think so, too. I think White's a better player. I think if someone's got to go, you keep White. And I would keep White over Camby. That's how much I like.
We have yet to see a healthy Camby play a few games.
He's more valuable because of his height and rebounding, because we have guys that can score, and we have guards, especially when Stumper comes back. So that might just be being a James Flight White fanboy right now, but
I think you're a little bit of a fanboy because we're going to need Camby in the NBA Finals against, either the Lakers or Oklahoma or Memphis.
Going to the finals.
Oh, we're definitely going to the finals.
I mean, that's the one thing they have going for them is playing in the East. I mean, they're fifth. Let's look at these 20 games. What do you think your prediction was before the season? You wouldn't have said 15-5.
No, I would have said 12-8 or 13-7.
Well, 13 is pretty good too, but 15-5, the best record in the Eastern Conference. I mean, what more could you ask for right now?
By the way, 18-6 plus 15-5 is 33-11 in the regular season under Woodson. You double that, you're at 66-20. I mean, you're talking about, you know, we were talking about 48, 50, 52 wins. This is a 60-win team, is it not?
Nah, I don't think they get to 60 because I don't know. Well, two things about Woodson. I want to talk about Woodson for a minute, what I like about this guy. They've only lost back-to-back games once under Woodson. I mean, that's great. So that was this season where they lost to the Mavs and the Jeremy Lin Rockets. Okay? This is why he's so much of a better coach than Mike D'Antoni. I was watching the Mike Woodson show, do you get MSG or are you watching it? How are you watching these games?
No, I get it on League Pass. So I get that for some weird reason on Time Warner, I only get the road games. My friend who has the DirecTV gets the MSG feed. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, there's a show called the Mike Woodson Show. Whatever, it's fine, blah, blah, blah. But in the show, Alan Hahn was talking to him. And he was talking about how, man, they were talking about the three-pointers, and he's like, you know, a couple of years ago I wouldn't have wanted to coach this way, but you know what? This is the strength of our team, so this is what we go for. Hey, that's a coach adjusting to what the strength of his team are, something D'Antoni couldn't do, and that's why they're going to trade Pau Gasol, because he just doesn't fit into a system. Don't fit into my system, you're out of here. Not, let me coach and, you know, do some things and fix some things so we can have a winning record. And also his timeouts. When he calls a timeout, look at that play that he designed in the fourth quarter, where it sounded like everybody ran like crazy, and it ended up with an alley oop to Chandler.
That looked like a scene straight out of Hoosiers. That was unbelievable.
He designs great plays out of the huddle.
I think that was the white picket fence. Wasn't that the white picket fence from Hoosiers? Isn't that what that play was?
Great. He's a good coach, man. You can't argue. The results are here, man.
Yeah, I agree, too. He also used the timeout a minute into the fourth. I like it. A lot of coaches don't do that. If things aren't going well, you got to call a timeout immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you got to cut it off, you know? I mean, they ran off a few plays. The bench was scrubbing it up. And then he put Chandler and Felton right back in.
Yeah, you got to love what he's doing. You have to. I mean, this is such a turnaround from where they were, obviously. And I mean, look what he's getting out of J.R. Smith, too. J.R. Smith respects him, and he's getting him to play probably the best J.R. Smith can play.
Yeah, I also think he's not being too hard on J.R. Smith, because I think the guy is sensitive, and he's obviously trying more this year. I think he's found the right balance of sort of like babysitting, mentoring him, and giving him like a stern warning when he needs to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing a great job with J.R. Smith. And
you're right, by the way, and you're right about D'Antoni, because I live in here in L.A., and I think it's absurd that you can't figure out a way to utilize Gasol that doesn't require him to shoot threes.
Oh, did you happen to see Corey Brewer tonight? Pretty good player, right? Good defender, can drive, can shoot a little bit. No, we didn't need him. D'Antoni had no use for him.
He was actually the best player on the court for stretches of the game.
Unbelievable. I think D'Antoni is such a shitty coach.
Yeah, he's horrible. By the way, that's the better Brewer, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was under the impression we might have the better brewer, but we do not have the better brewer.
I think Corey Brew is better than than our brewer.
Are they related?
No, they're not at all.
They don't look alike at all.
Yeah, they're not related.
Do they know that?
I don't know. Do they? But you would take Corey Brew if we could swap brewers?
Oh, yeah. That guy who's playing for Denver, man, he brought a lot to the table tonight.
You don't like, really? I don't know, man. I think Ron Brewer's a tad better. But, I mean, again, this is a guy we had on our team, and D'Antoni had no use for him. And we just had to get rid of him.
That's going
to
be our podcast question of the day. Which brewer would you rather have, Corey or Ronnie, to all of our listeners?
By the way, they're putting Nixon 60 on right now, which is do you remember Nixon 60?
Of course.
One of the best shows ever. Of course. You get the game in 60 minutes.
My brother works late, so he always watches, and he's got two kids, so he's always watching Nixon 60. He doesn't have time for this 2.5 hour nonsense.
And a podcast.
Yeah, and a podcast. Who's got the time for a full slate of games and a podcast? What do you think about this coming week? I mean, we have the Nets.
Revenge. We get our revenge.
Do we get it? I really want it.
Well, the Nets are struggling right now. Nets, I mean, is Brooke Lopez? When is Brooke coming back?
I don't know, but they got the doors blown off by Milwaukee tonight, huh?
Yeah, they came back a little bit, but at one point, I think they were down 25.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that's the thing, right? When you don't watch, if you don't get to watch the game, a lot of the times, you think, oh, well, that was a close game, but it wasn't. I mean, if one team's up 25, that's a blowout.
Yeah.
Unless it ends up being, come, you know,
you don't know what happens in the ebb and the flow of the game, like if the Bucks pulled their starters, did they kind of like stop trying? Because when you get up that much, it's kind of tough to still have that killer instinct. Yeah. You know, the game's kind of out of reach.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the Nets obviously, the final score was 9, but that was an absolute blowout. I would really like to get our revenge. I mean, I really want Felton to play a good game. I think that would be important to see him. But I wanted to go back to the point about me saying the Knicks are a 60-win team. The reason I say that is they never lose at home. They're going to win 35-plus home games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, look.
I don't know. I just feel like 60 is a bit much.
How many home games do you think they're going to win?
32.
No, they're going to lose 10 home games? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they almost lost tonight. Fine. Even if you give them 35.
So 35 and 6 at home, I mean, if you split your road schedule, you're at 56 wins if you go 500 on the road.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's about what I had. I don't think they get to 60. I wouldn't be shocked if they get high 50s, but I just 60, I don't know.
No, but look, high 50s is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. I mean, that's definitely, I mean, that could be the one seed in the East.
60 would probably get you the one seed, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhere between 56 and 60. I think if you get 57, you might have the one seed in the East.
All you need is two. I'm not afraid of any of these teams.
Yeah, so this week we have...
And by the way, they say Amari looks fantastic. I mean, this is what people are saying, but like, I mean, I saw a video of him warming up, and he looked real cut and in shape, and yeah, he looked great. I mean, again, this is just people saying, and he's not actually playing in the game, but that's something to get excited about. I mean, people are acting like Amari's garbage at this point, and you need another scorer. You need another guy besides Melo.
No, listen, we're going through our first extended droughts of the season this week, especially against Chicago. We've had some serious droughts.
Yeah, I mean, Amari's not going to help out in the Chicago game when they're struggling. They got no offense. You're on a pick and roll with him and Felton or him and Prigioni or Kidd. I mean, they got stuck. That bowl game, they just got fucking stuck, and they had no offensive flow.
Yeah, so and yet, you know, look, I mean, the good thing is that's encouraging is that we still had the game at the end. We still could have won that game with a horrendous performance against a top-flight team.
They were in that game, but... You know, hey, it was a bad feel. If you're looking up this week, I'm looking at the schedule right now. I just queued it up. I think they get their revenge Tuesday. I really do. Okay. I think.
So you're saying they win against Brooklyn and then the Lakers come to town on Thursday.
They play the Nets hard. Nets are struggling right now. I like the Knicks in this matchup. Lakers. That's tough. Is Gasol playing? I don't know. I mean, the Lakers are kind of a mess, but they still have two big bodies. Laker game scares me a little bit, I got to be honest.
And then on Saturday, we have Cleveland. So our three games of the week, I mean, you know, look, we could be 0-3. We could be 3-0. I don't know. Cleveland should be a win.
I think 2-1. I think they beat Cleveland, Brooklyn, lose to the Lakers. Is that
fair?
So you
think that's our first home loss? You think they're going to lose at home against the Lakers?
I don't know. Yeah, I kind of do. I'm trying to be fair. I think they would be 17-6 on Sunday. In a week from now, 17-6.
Well, look, it's not like any one of us would have said we wouldn't take that in a heartbeat.
No, and they say Amari's coming back Christmas against the Lakers, so you're going to have from now seven games left. No Amari.
They're all hard, by the way. It's a rough stretch.
Oh, all right. Well, you get the Rockets coming back. I think they beat the Rockets at home.
And then you've got the Nets again, and then you have Chicago at home, and then you have Minnesota at home. I mean, these are all good teams.
Yeah, no, it's not like super easy schedule, but yeah, I think the Rockets Monday, it's December 17th. They got to get the revenge on Lynn. Lynn comes to the Garden. He's going to get booed, and I think it gets to him. He had a terrible game Friday. Did you see the stat line there? Like 4 assists, 3 turnovers.
Yeah, I'm done paying attention to him.
I think they get the revenge. I mean, let's just like the Nets. I think this team's good, and they're going to be out for it. I think 2-1 is fair.
Hey, did you want to introduce something to the podcast this week?
Well, I wanted to do a Knicks power ranking.
Okay, I like that. Let's do it.
Well, we rank, I guess you'd go the top five.
Starting from number five.
Would it be for the week or what?
So do you want to do it for the week or for the season? Should we just do it for the week?
I think you do it for the week. You could do it two ways. You could do it for the week or you could do it for the season in terms of like – people go up and down, but I think maybe by the week might be easier.
All right, so listen.
What do you think?
Let's do it for the week. I like that. It's because otherwise it's always going to be mellow, you know?
Yeah, and you're going to have to mix it up. I'm doing mine right now.
I have it down in my head. You know, we've been talking about it for the week. So we're talking about for this past week that just ended. So we had the Charlotte game, the Miami game, the Chicago game, and the Denver game. Look, I think this week, Melo is somehow surprisingly at five.
You're going to put him at five?
Yeah.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, he missed the Miami and Chicago game. And he missed the winning moments of the Charlotte game. He obviously was a force for us in Denver. But I've got four guys that this week actually happen to be above him because of their performance.
I have him at four. I have Jason Kidd at five.
Okay, so why do you put Kidd at five?
Still effective. Was huge tonight. I'm putting Kidd at five. I'm gonna stick with that.
Okay. I was gonna put Kidd. Kidd's at four for me because you just see how important he is to the offense. You know, he missed a few games at the back and then this week he's healthy and it's just there's so much more fluid with him on the court and it's just so evident he's got the alley-oops. You know, he's been hitting 50% of his threes. This week I think he hit like 70% of his threes. It's just incredible.
Number three, who do you have?
I've got Novak this week at three.
Wow.
Yeah. I really think Novak's performance this week was really, you know, we were really like a little bit down on the guy. And his shots started falling last week. But then this week, I mean, he really became a weapon beyond the three-point line. He actually, you know, stepped into a few. And I really think that Nat now has added a new element that defenses have to key on.
I love seeing that out of him where he pumps, the defender goes flying because they're so used to just him shooting, going right up with it, and then he gets a shot off. I mean, it's good to see that.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was like in high school. Was he just always like that? I bet he wasn't because it's the game speed, you know? I bet in high school he was more like, I don't know, maybe he was just always the guy who could just shoot lights out. I mean, they didn't cover that in the beginnings, but you got to believe like he was like, could do more than that in high school, right?
Oh, yeah, and like, no, listen, I bet he put it on the floor in high school because it's, you know, it's easier.
That's what I'm saying. I think the kid's just too fast now for him.
Yeah.
So he can only do that. But, hey, man, he's a specialist. He's very good at what he does.
So who do you have as your number three?
James Flight White.
Wow, you're really throwing that guy up from number 12 to number three, huh?
Getting some playing time, hitting some shots, shooting a good percentage. James Flight White, number three.
I see that as the only time this season James White's going to make either of our lists.
I gotta stick with my boy.
All right, so then number two this week I have Chandler.
Me too. I have Tyson Chandler, number two.
You know, he's really just every week he should be, you know, in the top three for the Knicks because he's always there. He's always consistent. I mean, he's shooting the lights out. He's having rebounding games. This past week he had a 17-rebound game, an 18-rebound game, a 13-rebound game, a 12-rebound game. The guy's incredible.
Yeah, and number one I have Felton.
Yeah, I mean, this was Felton's coming out party a little bit, don't you think?
Yep, after he really bounced back after that bad Nets game. And he's just had a good stretch, you know. When they killed Milwaukee and the Wizards, he was good. And then, obviously, that Miami game, that was his game. And then he just controlling it. I'm going to give Felton the number one spot for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he deserves it, man. He dropped, 27 two games in a row. Tonight he didn't have a huge scoring output, but he's consistently.
Yeah.
Obviously Darren Williams is always.
He didn't play a lot down the stretch because the lineup was coming back, and you don't take. Like, if you're coming back, the lineup that came back, it was like Kidd, Smith, Novak, Melo, and Chandler, and they're like, you don't take someone out.
No, it was just working. Everything was clicking. Everything was clicking. That doesn't take away from the week he had. I mean, and he had a bruised hand. He did this,
I give him it, too. And it's not like they came back because he was off the court. He could have done what they were doing. But, yeah, the bruised hand is a big point, too.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying his work ethic, his decision-making. He's not turning it over. Look, we're number one in the league in turnovers. That's a beautiful thing to be part of.
No, I know that, but I'm saying playing great, and he's not turning over a ton, and he's running the offense well. You need a point guard.
Yeah, he wanted to beat Denver, too, because he didn't have a good time there.
No, he didn't want to go there, and then they just got rid of him, and then, that kind of started his down spiral on Portland, where he didn't want to be either.
That's got to feel pretty crappy as an NBA player, just to have teams not want you. Just like, let's just get rid of this guy.
But you're dumped, man.
Yeah, it's like getting dumped. I mean, he got dumped by Denver.
And then you see they just favored Ty Lawson. That was it. But then
you go to another team, right? You think you're dating a new girl, and then she dumps you. Now you start realizing, like, oh, maybe I'm the problem.
I would assume. Dumps you for Wes Matthews.
Yeah. When you started getting dumped for people you think you're better than, like all of a sudden your girlfriend dumps you for a guy who you think is even more mediocre than you are.
He's not, man. It's like a joke. Let people laugh at you. How many All-Stars are on this team?
Even though the Knicks stopped for 20 years.
There has to be three.
And now they're really good.
It has to be. We're the best team in the East. It's got to be Felton.
Is Felton going to make the All-Star team?
Well, look, Rondo's not having a great year. No, Derrick Rose is out. Where are all these
points? No, he's not having a great year. He has the assist thing, though.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, your team's, what, 500 right now? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I don't know, man. I feel like Rondo, it's kind of hard once you get it, you know, once you get that spot to get it taken away.
Right. Look, Brandon Jennings is playing really well.
Either, but San Antonio's 17-4.
Melo's got to be right there. Yeah, man. Well, listen, I think this week is another tough week for the Knicks. I think 2-1 would be good. I really don't want to lose at home. I'd rather lose to the Nets on the road. I want to keep our.
Nah, you want to beat the Nets, man. They're in your division.
I'd rather win both than lose to the Cavs, then. If I have to lose to somebody this week, I'd rather it be the Cavs.
Okay, I can buy that.
You know, I just don't want to, I don't know, I don't want to lose to the Lakers, you know, because that sort of legitimizes them.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
I don't know, man. Cavs always play the next tough. You could lose to the Cavs. Yeah. I don't know if Kyrie Irving's back, and Varejao's tough on the boards.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, but I think they actually kill the Cavs, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3-0 this week, actually. Screw it.
Look at you. It's a tough week. I don't know. Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that does it for this week. We'll see who's on the top five next week. We'll see who's up and who's down.
Good chat, Matthew.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Another great win last night. I got to ask you a question. As a beat writer, do you sort of have a feeling of when they're going to win or lose a game?
Trends in the NBA. I'll be honest with you, I thought that they were going to be beat Miami, and then after they beat Miami, I really thought they were going to lose to Chicago. That being said, I also thought they were going to come home last night and lose their first home game to Denver, and maybe if Denver had played a little smarter in the fourth quarter, that would have been the case. But they let Steve Novak make a couple of threes, and Carmelo Anthony came back in the game, started making shots. But, you know, there are times when, you know, you do kind of have a hunch on something, but that being said, there are times when I'm 100% wrong about the hunches, so... It works both ways.
Yeah, because I always hear this term, like a scheduled loss. You know, like when they have to come back and play like the second night of a back-to-back on the road. Like, is that a real thing?
Well, you know, it is. But, a lot of times when teams play, especially for the teams on the East Coast, they might finish a road trip on a Sunday on the West Coast, and then they'll play home on Tuesday. And for a lot of those teams, that's a tough game. You know, coming back, adjusting, their body clock, and, they kind of got home or whatever obligations they might have, especially for the players that have family. So I think there are some type of schedule losses. That being said, the Knicks went to Miami having played the night before and lost to Miami, which was rested. Then they went to Chicago. The Knicks had a day off. Chicago played the night before. The Knicks won. And then the Knicks lost. Then the same thing happened on Sunday against Denver. Denver was sitting in New York, rested while the Knicks were playing the night before, and what happens the following night? The Knicks win. So, I think what happens is players and coaches, to a lesser extent, tend to use that as an easy excuse sometimes, especially the whole third game at 4:00.
So we are very happy to have our next guest on the show. Frank Cazzola has been the New York Knicks beat writer for the Daily News since 1996. He's also a regular analyst on NBA TV and the co-host of NBA radio show Tip Off, which can be heard every day on Sirius Radio. Frank, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
It seems to me like a thing that I'm noticing, I think we're all, as Knicks fans, a little bit, we have like our dream glasses on, but it seems to me like they never want to lose any games, which is what you only see of like legitimate contenders. It seems like they fight for every single game.
Yeah, I mean, are we now looking at a situation where the Knicks could potentially snag that one seed, or is that just a little bit fantasy? I mean, I look at this team, people are saying, oh, they might win 50 games, but, you look at Woodson's record now. He's 33-10 as the coach of the Knicks. I mean, that's more of a 60-win team than a 50-win team. Yeah.
If they could go over 50, that's great. And like you said, 60, it seems, that you're probably reaching a little bit, but like you said, you look at the record, it's possible. And I think they absolutely could finish at the top seed in the Eastern Conference. Boston will be a team that will be better by the end of the year, but this looks like it's going to be kind of a tough regular season for them. And it's all going to come down to what Miami wants to do. And if Miami, all it's going to take is so LeBron and games, and Miami's going to struggle because Wade isn't at the top of his game. The Knicks very easily could have the best record in the East. And if they do and they end up playing Miami, you wouldn't mind playing Miami in Madison Square Garden in a game 7 if you came to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at Miami. I mean, Dwayne Wade just looks like, I don't know if he's ever going to get back to what he was. I mean, I see like 56 games winning the East potentially. Yeah, I mean, to me, he just looks like another guy out there.
No, he does. And the other night when the Knicks beat them, I think you could say the same thing about Chris Bosh.
Oh, Chris Bosh always looks like that to me. I mean, this, every other game, he's just another guy out on the court. No, I mean, I guess I agree with you, but I'm just looking at the Miami roster as a whole. Obviously, LeBron's, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else in the NBA, but just looking at the, you know, Miami additions, I just feel like Steve Novak's as good as Ray Allen at this point in his career, too.
Well, I think the California sun and the...
Is that crazy talk?
That smog must be getting to your head, because you'd be the only person in the world that thinks that.
Okay, fine. I take it back, but... Yeah, a team with good defensive rotations can pretty much neutralize Novak. You're right about that.
It's just face guard him. I mean, it's amazing that these teams, Denver was the same way. I mean, they guarded him pretty well for most of the game. But in the fourth quarter, they kept leaving him open. And, you know, and especially coming out of timeouts, with Steve Novak is on the court, coming out of a timeout, the Knicks are looking to run a play either where they get an alley-oop to Tyson Chandler or Steve Novak. A 3-pointer. I mean, it's amazing how many teams give up a wide open shot to Novak, but the Miami Heat did not do it in the playoffs. And when I see Ray Allen, I'm going to tell him that you said Steve Novak is just as good as him.
Please don't do that. I was joking. I can't believe I actually said that myself. I guess my point being is that, you know, all these additions that Miami made, you know, they were big and splashy, but it just doesn't seem like these guys don't scare me anymore. Yeah, Bosh abused him, actually.
Yeah, he showed up for game one sick with the flu, and, you know, he was terrible in the first game. And then really after that, he never found his form. And I thought that was a big reason why, you know, the Knicks went out in five games. It was a layup fest and a dunk fest that Miami had. So I think if the two teams were to meet in the playoff series, I think a big factor could be Tyson Chandler because, you know, Miami doesn't have really any size. I guess the best big player would still be Joel Anthony.
You know, you've now made me rethink this whole thing. So if the playoff comes, they know how to shut down Novak, and somehow they manage to make Tyson Chandler into a fool. I'm starting to think maybe they the regular season may not matter as much as it does right now.
Well, I mean, I think those wins, I don't think that those two losses devastate the Miami Heat where they're like, oh, my, you know, we can't beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
Down there and doing it without Carmelo Anthony, Amar'e Stoudemire,
Yeah. Miami. Let me ask you about Carmelo.
Miami's confident. You know that Miami knows they could win. Now I think the Knicks have a lot more belief than they probably did at the start of the year.
I think that's right. Let me ask you about Melo. I mean, he just never gets mentioned nationwide in the MVP discussion. Is he not deserving of that yet?
Well, I mean, if you think of Madison Square Garden, you hear it because the fans chant it every time he comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
People in Oklahoma City aren't thinking that he's the MVP. And what about the numbers that Zach Randall's putting up?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think that obviously KD and LeBron are pretty much getting all the chatter. I think Randolph hasn't been given enough credit either.
Yeah, he has. And that's why, you know, I understand what you're saying. I mean, everyone keeps talking about Carmelo, you know, about this MVP stuff. And I think at the end of the year he's going to be there. But I don't really pay much attention to it in November, December, January, and February.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We'll table it for a couple months. Let me ask you about J.R. Smith. I mean, he started the week off with that amazing last-second jumper, but I feel like, I don't know, a lot of Knicks fans are a little worried we're seeing some regression. Are we?
In terms of him maybe winning the sixth man of the year?
No, I'm just talking about bad habits.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I mean, listen, he's still in the picture for sixth man. Yeah, I mean, why does Woodson allow him to run to the three-point line when he has the ball on a three-on-one break? Yeah, I mean, he definitely makes a lot of good passes to Novak. Those guys seem like buddies. I mean, it seems like an odd combo. Are those guys, like, good pals now?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I do think the Knicks locker room is pretty much together, though. I think they all pull for one another. And, you know, they seem to have very good chemistry. And, I would give, you know, Tyson Chandler some, you know, credit for that, Jason Kidd. But I'd also give Carmelo Anthony because, you know, you need your best player to kind of be that guy that, you know, embraces everyone. And maybe last year, you know, Carmelo didn't really embrace Jeremy Lin. Maybe that did cause some friction in the locker room.
Yeah. Is Woodson, he seems like the ultimate quote-unquote player's coach. Is that what he's like in the locker room?
Well, I mean, I guess. I really never know what that means. I mean, I think Greg Popovich can be really rough on his players, but, you know, the players seem to like him. So I don't really know what makes a player's coach. I would think if I were a player, I would just want a coach to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not play games and things like that. And I think that's what makes a good player's coach. So I think if Woodson is like that, I think that's a fair assessment. For a long time, I kind of felt that it was a way of saying the guy was an ex-player. You know what I mean?
Right. And he is.
Player's coach. But Greg Popovich, he didn't play in the NBA.
Right.
He didn't play in the NBA. And they were certainly quote-unquote player's coaches.
Yeah. I guess I wanted to ask, too, about the big man, you know, rotation. Amari's, you know, I guess hopefully coming back. I mean, is he still scheduled for Christmas arrival? And what do you think is going to happen with the, you know, with the lineup?
Targeting that because it's a nationally televised game, and
Yeah, you want to bang with Howard? I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know that everybody loves Sheed, but I mean, I've been looking at his percentages. He's not really shooting very well at all. Kurt Thomas isn't giving you very much, so I'm looking forward to Amari coming back soon. What's up with, we kind of actually saw some legit playing time this week for James White. He looks like he can play a little bit. Yeah, I just was thinking it's kind of like we don't actually have any scrubs for once. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting. You've covered a lot of crappy teams. Is this the best one you've ever covered?
Oh, my. Look at you. Steve Novak better than Ray Allen. This Knicks team. The Knicks won 57 games in 1997. They had Patrick Ewing on the team.
Listen, I remember. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I was born in 79. I've been there. Are they better than the New Jersey Nets? Nah, I call them the New Jersey Nets. I call them the New Jersey Nets.
I thought going into the season, the Knicks were much better. And I still think that. I mean, the Knicks have a better roster. To me, the Nets have way too many question marks, starting with the center who missed most of the last year with the foot injury, or maybe missed the whole year, I guess it was. And now he's out again. It'll be only a matter of time before Gerald Wallace hits the floor. He's got to miss time. And then Darren Williams, he's always banged up. So, and the Knicks have more depth. The Knicks, I always thought the Knicks were a better team, and the record is showing it right now.
All right, so then let's have you make a prediction here. Where do the Knicks finish in the East?
I think they will finish second. I still think somehow, some way, Miami will finish ahead of them. But the Knicks should win the Atlantic. They should get the second seed. You play the seventh seed, then you play, what would that be, the 3-6, and then you would get, you know, you would avoid playing Miami until a conference final, assuming both of you get there. So the Knicks, you know, for once, if the Knicks can do the right thing and finish with a great regular season record, they'd really set themselves up for a nice postseason run.
Yeah. Well, how many games do you think they lose at home this year? Yeah, my co-host and I debated. I said 6, he said 10. I think it probably falls somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But this looks like the toughest month, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. It's, and plus now now that they're playing all these games at home, eventually they're going to get picked off by somebody. I think the Lakers, that game on Thursday will be very interesting because, D'Antoni's coming back. We know that Kobe Bryant, loves to play at Madison Square Garden, but the Lakers are, it's a shaky group right now. I mean, they're out of the playoff race in the Western Conference, so they got to get their act together.
Yeah, it's really getting to that time. Who do you think makes it out of the West, Oklahoma?
I do. I think Oklahoma. Before the season started, I was convinced that it would be the Lakers, but even when Steve Nash comes back, to me, they don't have enough athleticism. They don't have enough defense. I think it's going to be Oklahoma.
I agree with you. I mean, I the only other team I could potentially see is Memphis. I don't see the Lakers at all being able to shut down OKC's offense. So before I let you go, anything else you want to plug here? Anything we should? Where do we find you?
Well, you could obviously read the Daily News.
Read the Daily News, everybody. It's a good one.
Or you can go on, log onto the website, nydailynews.com.
And look for me. Great. Before we let you go, did you know that there's also a Frank Cazzola, a famous jazz drummer?
Yes. Yeah. I do know that.
He stole your Wikipedia page. You got to get it back from him.
I don't want to be famous. I just want to be rich. How about that?
Sometimes you need one to get the other, but hopefully not.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, Frank, and we'll hope to have you on later on in the season.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks all right. A lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. That was another great week of West Coast Knicks Fan. We will see you next week after hopefully we win 3 more games.